Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. 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 I am no matter. Yeah, yeah. What race, creed, or color. Everybody. We need each other. Wake up, everybody! Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody! We need, no more sleeping in vain, no more backward thinking, backward thinking ahead.
Last week, I had the privilege of interviewing a Mr. Leandrew Mills III, and he was seeking election for a state Senate seat in District 1 in Jacksonville, Florida, in a special election. Now, early voting for the primary started this past weekend, September 10th, and will continue until September 17th, with the primary vote completing on October 20th. The general election will be on October 18th, with early voting beginning October 8th through October 15th. If you live in District 1 or know someone that lives in Jacksonville, Florida, ask them to vote for Mr. Leandrew Mills III and vote early. If you care to make a donation to his campaign, his website is www.millsforsenate, that's the number 4, and senate.com. All right, big news this week is the president released his jobs plan in a joint session of Congress, and it was a forceful and bold delivery, in my opinion. I was glad to see it. The Republicans initially came out and said that they thought it merited consideration, unquote. But in the days since the president's speech, they have backed away and are now taking pot shots and making excuses why portions of the plan won't work, even going so far as to deliver another stimulus package. The administration delivered the plan to Congress Monday evening for their review. I was privileged to be on a conference call with the White House Office of Public Engagement to discuss the American Jobs Plan. An overview of the plan was presented, and on this call there was actually a focus on how the plan would help the high unemployment experienced in the African American community. I will run through a few of the highlights of the plan, and that's what I plan to spend the majority of the time on today, and what in particular the administration stated would help the African American community. I know some of you have been listening at the news and seen and heard some of the brief highlights of the plan itself. But like I said, on the call, we are taken through an overview. And I'll just go through some of those points. Tax cuts to help America's small business hire and grow. Cutting the payroll tax and cutting it in half for the first $5 billion in wages. Now, this provision cuts the payroll tax in half to 3.1% for employers on the first $5 million in wages, providing broad tax relief to all businesses, and it targets 98% of firms with wages below this level. Temporarily eliminating payroll tax on wages for the new workers or raises for existing workers. In other words, the proposal is a full holiday on the 6.2% payroll tax firms pay for any growth in their payroll up to $50 million above the prior year. Now, that's whether that's driven by new hires or if they increase wages or both. So this kind of job creation measure that the Congressional Budget Office has called the most effective of all tax cuts in supporting employment. Help for entrepreneurs and small business, access to capital and growth. The president's plan includes administrative, regulatory, and legislative measures to help small firms start and expand. This includes changing the way government does business with small firms. The administration will soon announce a plan to accelerate government payments to small contractors to help put money in their hands faster. The president also charged his CIO and CTO to within 90 days stand up a one-stop online portal for small businesses to easily access government services. And another key note of that provision is the president's plan calls for Congress to pass comprehensive patent reform, increase guarantees for bonds to help small businesses compete for infrastructure projects, and remove burdensome withholding requirements that keep capital out of the hands of job creators. Under the section on putting workers back on the job while rebuilding and modernizing America, tax credits and career readiness efforts to support veterans hiring. The president proposed retaining heroes tax credit of just $5,600 for hiring unemployed veterans who have been looking for a job for more than 6 months, and a wounded warriors tax credit of up to $9,600 for hiring unemployed workers with service-connected disabilities who have been looking for a job for more than 6 months. Preventing layoffs of teachers, police officers, and firefighters. The president is proposing to invest $35 billion to prevent layoffs of up to 280,000 teachers while supporting the hiring of tens of thousands more and keeping firefighters and police officers on the jobs. Making an immediate investment in our roads and rails and airports. And again, this is going to the infrastructure bank. He's calling on the past national infrastructure bank capitalized with $10 billion. And this is to put lots of construction workers back to work as soon as possible and building and rehabilitating in our roads, bridges, and railways. Project Rebuild, putting people back to work, rehabilitating homes, businesses, and communities. The president proposed to invest $15 billion in a national effort to put construction workers on the job, rehabilitating and refurbishing hundreds of thousands of vacant and foreclosed homes and businesses. Pathways back to work for Americans looking for jobs. This, I thought, was a key section in helping to lower the unemployment rate, besides the different programs as far as the infrastructure bank and things like that. He wants to reform the unemployment insurance system to provide greater flexibility, while ensuring 6 million people do not lose benefits. Basically, what we're looking to do is extend unemployment insurance benefits for 79 weeks. Reemployment assistance. States will be required to design more rigorous reemployment services for the long-term unemployed and to conduct assessments to review the longest-term claimants. Work sharing. You will expand work sharing to encourage arrangements using unemployment insurance that keep employees on the job at reduced hours rather than laying them off. And under the reduced hours, unemployment insurance can be used to supplement their pay. Bridge to work programs. States will be able to put in place reforms that build off what works in programs like Georgia Works or Opportunity North Carolina, while instituting important fixes and reforms that ensure minimum wage and fair labor protections are enforced. These approaches permit long-term unemployed workers to continue receiving unemployment insurance while they take temporary, voluntary work or pursue work-based training. In other words, they would still be drawing unemployment compensation. Startup assistance. States will have the flexibility to help long-term unemployed workers create their own jobs by starting their own small businesses. Tax credits for hiring long-term unemployed. And again, the president is proposing a tax credit of up to $4,000 for hiring workers who have been looking for a job for over 6 months. He also has a provision for prohibiting employers from discriminating against unemployed workers. You know, there are a lot of different companies out there that basically when they put out listings for jobs and things like that, that aren't actually allowing people that have been unemployed for long periods of time or actually over the age of 50 to basically compete for those positions. So the president's plan calls for legislation that will make it unlawful to refuse to hire simply because they're unemployed or to be included in a job posting or provision that unemployed persons will not be considered. Now, more money in the pockets of every American worker and family. Again, cutting the payroll taxes. And basically this provision for a person with an average household income of $50,000 a year is an annual tax savings of about $1,500 based on that amount. It also has provisions for helping more Americans refinance mortgages at today's historically low interest rates. And this is estimated that it could save some homeowners as much as $2,000 per year, or put that much cash back in their pockets per year. So I thought it was a very comprehensive plan. I actually got a copy of the entire plan today. It's 199 pages, and I haven't had a chance to go through it in depth. On the call, we were allowed to ask questions in a Q&A session. However, before I got queued to ask my questions, but I was able to email a couple of different questions into him on some concerns that I had. And once I get responses back to those questions, I will update everybody on that. One was concerning the mortgages, and the other was concerning the discriminatory practices in hiring. And I will address those when we get them back. Now, if you want more information, or if you actually want to see how this Jobs Act will affect your state and what it will do for your state, there is a website that you can go to, and it's www.whitehouse.com, and look for the American Jobs Act off of their website, and you can go in state by state and see the benefits that it will provide for your state. I just happened to be in the state of North Carolina today doing a broadcast. I did pull down the American Jobs Act impact for North Carolina, and I also pulled down the one for Maryland. And just to give you some brief highlights of what it does. Tax cuts to help, and this is North Carolina, tax cuts to help America's small business hire and grow. In North Carolina, basically 170,000 firms will receive a payroll tax cut under the American Jobs Act. Putting workers back to work, President's plan will make immediate investments of at least $798 million in North Carolina that would support a minimum of approximately 10,400 local jobs. There will be another $900 million provided in funds to North Carolina to support up to 13,400 educators and first responder jobs. On the investment for school infrastructure, North Carolina will receive $675 million in funding to support as many as 8,800 jobs. The president is proposing to invest $15 billion in a national effort to put construction workers on the job, on rehabilitating and refurbishing vacant homes and businesses. North Carolina could receive $20 million to revitalize and refurbish local communities. North Carolina could receive $163 million in funding for the next fiscal year for its community colleges. On the pathways back to work for Americans looking for jobs, North Carolina would get help for 234,000 long-term unemployed workers to get them back to work. Extended unemployment insurance would prevent 90,400 people looking for work in North Carolina from losing their benefits in just the first 6 weeks. Pathways back to work could place 4,000 adults and 12,700 youth in jobs in North Carolina. And under tax relief for every American worker and family, a typical household in North Carolina with a median income of around $42,000 will receive a tax cut of around $1,300. Just briefly going over the state of Maryland. Maryland, 110,000 firms will receive a payroll tax cut under the American Jobs Act. Putting workers back on the job while rebuilding and modernizing, Maryland could receive an immediate investment of $625.5 million that could support a minimum of approximately 8,100 local jobs. Under the president's proposal to invest $35 billion to prevent layoffs of up to 280,000 teachers, Maryland could receive $541,700,000 in funds to support 6,000 educators and first responder jobs. $25 billion investment in school infrastructure. Maryland will receive $315,800,000 in funding to support another 4,100 jobs. The president is planning to invest $15 billion in a national effort to put construction workers, again, rehabilitating homes and foreclosed homes and businesses. Maryland could receive $20 million to revitalize and refurbish local communities. And Maryland could receive $94 million in funding in the next fiscal year for its community colleges. Pathways back to work for workers looking for jobs could put 90,000 long-term unemployed workers in Maryland back to work. Extended unemployment insurance prevents 17,600 people looking for work in Maryland from losing their benefits in just the first 6 weeks. Pathways back to work could place 1,700 adults and 8,300 youth in jobs in Maryland. And a typical household in Maryland with a median income of around $64,000 will receive a tax cut of around $1,980. And one of the things they also stress, as far as benefits or assistance in the African American community, that the jobs plan would provide is basically extending unemployment benefits to 79 weeks. That actually helps 1.5 million African-American families that are currently unemployed. This program called Employer Tryouts, it's aimed at getting long-term unemployed back to work. There are volunteer programs over age 50 and paid less than they were before will be helped. And again, unemployment insurance will be used to supplement that pay and bring wages up to a livable level. Infrastructure jobs will be open to all, and they will eliminate discrimination against, you know, not hiring unemployed personnel. And like I said, I have some other questions that I want to clear on that, and I'll get those answers to you when I get them back. Again, payroll taxes cut in half. On average, is a $1,500 in savings for a family earning $50,000. And cut half of payroll taxes for businesses up to $5 million, which is estimated to help 100,000 black-owned businesses. So, the president has asked that we all call, email, fax, tweet, Facebook. I'm sure you've seen it all over the TV and all over the news. Or use whatever means to get our congressional representatives and urge them to pass this bill. We need to force their hand to either accept this plan or reject it altogether, is what I'm saying. There's talk right now that there may be some compromise and only parts of the plan get through. I think if we bring our voices to bear in unity and in volume, in large volume, then we can make our voices heard and make the Congress pass this bill in its entirety. Again, the president has stated with the budget cuts and the tax revenues that he is proposing to plan, a very comprehensive plan, that it will be paid for. It doesn't add to the deficit. So there's no reason. And it's bipartisan. In a lot of cases, a lot of these ideas have been brought forward before by both Democrats and Republicans. So there should be no problem in Congress approving this and stop playing political, you know, badminton with it, hitting it back and forth. So to find your senator and your representative, you can go to www.senate.gov and call and send emails, and www.house.gov to find your representative and call and email them. If anybody would like to comment or have any questions, if you would press 1 for those that are on the line right now, and if you're on the chat room, you can call 646-378-0763. What say you, family? Let's speak on it. Okay, the next topic I wanted to talk about was basically voter suppression. There are lots of activities that are taking place around the country, and as we've mentioned on previous shows, there's been a rash of states changing their voter registration requirements. Proposals have been generated in over 30 states in an attempt to disenfranchise minorities, the elderly, and some of our young voters. Basically, anyone who doesn't look, think, or talk like the GOP base. So we have to help out as much as we can on all fronts. 1 second, I have a caller that wants to speak up. Hello, caller. Last 40264.
Hi, good afternoon, Jazz. This is Stacy from Bowie. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and how are you today?
I'm good. One of the problems, one of the issues that I'm faced with when trying to promote either Let's Speak on It or Take Back the House is this, you know, the elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about, and I'd like you to address it, that people continually say, well, this is for black people, or it's the black agenda, or it's just for Democrats. We had a caller in the chat room, or someone in the chat room earlier on a couple weeks ago, saying that it was just anti-white. So I think it's that one thing that needs to be addressed on the show, on air, so we can dismiss that totally.
Okay, and I appreciate that comment. First off, let me say, Let's Speak On It is a show for everyone. I think if you recall when I give the opening mission statement, we talk about trying to get Democrats, independents, and Republicans together to raise their voice and speak on the issues, because they affect everyone. This is not a show that's just for blacks, and nor is our primary Facebook group is back out in 2012. And you will find great diversity among the members of that group. So there's no, I'll say, hatred or animosity toward any culture. We accept everyone from every culture on this planet that wants to be a part of this movement for the greater good of the nation. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, Latino, Asian, Muslim, whatever your religion, if you don't believe in religion, it's about basically everybody coming together to combat what the Tea Party is trying to do in subverting our government and selling it out to corporations, selling out labor and taking us back 100 years in time. So basically that's what we're trying to do. And I hope I don't come across as being racist or biased in any way towards any group. The group will be the corporate members.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter to me what ethnic groups are in that Tea Party, but it's just that organization is what we're trying to combat.
Right.
So that's it. So it's nothing about race or anything else like that.
Okay. One more question.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about voters being disenfranchised, we recognize that certain acts or certain legislation are going to disenfranchise certain groups and across the state. Do you know of a source where we can go to begin political action committees, or is there one? Have you found in your research one place to go that's listing who's being disenfranchised and also gives information on how we can step in and proceed to address these people and make sure that their votes are going to be counted?
Okay. and I haven't found, I'll say, just one source. There's probably multiple sources out there. There's organizations, for example, like MoveOn.org, where you can actually create petitions and put those out and spoke into the different states.
Okay.
Also, there's a website called TPM Muckraker, which actually I was going to read in some of the issues that they're addressing right now in these voter ID laws that are coming up in some of the different states. But there are other organizations, the NAACP is taking action to address this in a lot of the states. The issue comes is they can't really challenge any of the bills until they've actually been signed into law. So then they can go forward and challenge in the courts the constitutionality of those laws. One example I'll give is in the state of North Carolina. They tried to pass a voter ID registration law in the state of North Carolina. Governor Perdue, who happens to be, I'll say, the main Democratic office in the state of North Carolina, because the assembly and the legislature in North Carolina is majority Republican.
Right.
But Governor vetoed that legislation. Now, when it went to the House, they tried to secure enough votes to overturn her veto, but they failed in that attempt. The vote was actually split directly between Republicans and Democrats, and the Republicans needed five more votes in order to push that through. So in North Carolina, the voter ID, the new voter ID requirements for photo IDs and things like that have actually been stopped by the governor's veto. Now, in different states, in different states, there are different things going on. Let's see. In Texas, and our Governor Perry has actually promoted what he calls emergency legislation for voter ID, and it basically it's been called out that it intentionally discriminates against minorities.
Right.
And that is being fought on several fronts. The Advancement Project, the American Civil Liberties Union, Asian American Justice Center, and Southwest Workers Union.
So,
you know, there are different things going on, and I was actually going to run through a few of these just to let everybody know some of the states and the actions that are taking place. we discussed about a week or so ago in South Carolina. Their governor actually signed some legislation, and it's being challenged now because once it was signed, it was estimated that it would disenfranchise approximately 200,000 voters in that state.
Right.
So the constitutionality of their new law is being challenged as well.
I guess what I want us to be mindful of is the fact that because we're less than 14 months away, we don't want to wait for the courts. That if there's a way to get out and take action and not have to wait for a decision, that we want to be mindful of that and make sure we're being ever vigilant and not waiting for the courts to change action.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things we want to do is a call to action to get people mobilized and start talking to their friends, their relatives, their neighbors, and getting folks out to different organizations. There's a website that you can go to that actually will give the voting requirements for your state. Now, some of them haven't been updated yet because those bills haven't been made into law, so they're still looking at what the requirements were for the last elections.
Okay.
So anytime any new bills are passed, then they'll have to basically go out to the site, and they can come on to Facebook, to our group, and look in the group. It's an open group called Take Back the House in 2012, and there are documents that we've created there, and one of the documents is used for websites. And you can go into that document, and you can find pretty much any website that you need in regards to voting requirements, this information we just talked about on the American Job Act. There's any kind of useful links, political and things of those nature that are out there.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested, go to Take Back the House in 2012. Look at some of the posts that we have there and look at the documents. And if you can't find something there, post some information or what you need, and somebody will get back to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All righty. Thank you very much for calling in. And hello, looks like I got the ice cream man.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You sound like you got an echo going on, but I can hear you.
Oh, sorry. I'm connected through the internet, but someone's having a difficult connection out here. I'm in the middle of the ocean action right now.
I can just barely. You got a lot of echo going on there. Is there any way you can get to someplace where you can get a better signal?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me better now?
Go ahead and state what your issue is. I'll see if I can understand you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you've heard of the Operation BART in San Francisco and to the Bay Area Rapid Transit System.
I'm sorry, I'm having a real difficult time trying to understand what you're saying.
We are not.
Are you still logged into the chat room?
We do not forget. Exactly.
Are you still logged into the chat room?
We are not. We are legion. We do not forget. We do not forget. Expecto.
Do not forget what?
We are not. We are legion. We do not forget. We do not forget. Expecto.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been good talking to you, and I hope you were successful with whatever mission is. And it just dropped off. Okay, as I was saying, we were talking about some of the voter identification, and I'm not sure of where everybody is located, but what I would like to do is I know we get people that are listening in from different parts of the country, and just to address a couple of those things, one major one that's happening right now, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's a Republican, basically in seeing all the different voter ID requirements or voter suppression laws, I'll say, that are popping up across the various states, he's actually proposing that there be a federal voter ID law. Now, let me explain one thing. The entire reason that these folks are giving as justification for enacting these bills is they are saying that there's a lot of voter fraud going on. However, there has not been any one state and any one, I'd say, personal organization has been able to present data that substantiates that claim. They have not found large issues of voter fraud or anything else in any state out there since they've been trying to enact these laws. Basically, what a lot of this comes from, and I'll tell you, there's an organization called ALEC, and ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. Its key members are legislators. However, the big money comes from organizations such as the Koch Brothers Industries, Big Tobacco, and the drug industry. And these folks are basically the ones that put together, they actually draft legislation and have access to the different legislators. It's supposed to be bipartisan or nonpartisan, but its pro-corporate and anti-consumer mission is clear. So the corporations basically draft the legislation that they would like to see passed and put it in the hand of the legislators. And that's why you see this almost mirror image of these bills from state to state, because they're all basically the same. They just make whatever changes, minor changes they need to address their various legislators and some of their own state constitutions and bills of rights. So they're the ones that are basically the main source of driving this voter suppression as part of the Republican Party's agenda to take over the White House and have President Obama be a one-term president. And we've got to do everything within our powers to make sure that that doesn't happen. So as I was saying, TPM Muckraker talks about some of the different issues that are going on. Let me see here. Let me find one real quick. Like I said, I talked about Lindsey Graham. What state is this? Senator Durbin is actually chairing a meeting examining the rush of voter ID laws passed by states and saying basically that such laws were meant to do anything but only meant to suppress Democratic turnout across the country. There's a lawsuit been brought against Wisconsin. As we know, they've been in the news several times now, and they received lots of complaints because one of the things the governor of Wisconsin did was shut down a lot of the Department of Motor Vehicle and Department of Transportation facilities that were in Democratic districts. And when people were trying to get to other districts to actually get their voter IDs, they had actually shortened the hours of those locations. So the complaints have come in that they need to extend hours in those places to allow people to get in to get their IDs so they can vote. Another story that actually came out of Wisconsin, the IDs are supposed to be free for those who actually don't need a driver's license. There's a story on TMP Muckraker, and it talks about an employee, a guy by the name of Chris Larson, who was a low-level Wisconsin state employee, and he was fired for apparent cause of using his work email to mock and disparage state policy to his coworkers. And basically what he did was he put out an email that said, if you know someone who votes that does not have a state ID that meets requirements to vote, tell them they can go to the DMV, DOT, and get a free ID card. However, they must ask for the free ID because a memo was sent out by the third in command of the DMV, DOT. The memo specifically told the employees at the DMV not to inform individuals that the IDs were free. So if the individual seeking to get the free ID doesn't ask for it, they have to pay. It's $28 for the ID. So he was fired, basically, for that very reason, for just basically trying to pass the word to inform people that they wouldn't have to be exposed to paying for a voter ID. I mean, they're stooping to basically any kinds of, I'll say, devious behavior just to break up the base of voters or prevent people from being able to vote in 2012. So again, we have to work as hard as we can to get the word out. We have to start getting together for voter drives and voter registration drives. And we have to do this soon. We have to start now. The other organization that I'm a member of, as far as Take Back the House in 2012, we're actually going to have a strategy session this weekend. So we'll start moving the mission of the group forward. And that is to start with these across the country voter registration drives, making sure we get in contact with the proper authorities from a legal standpoint. Because one of the things that are happening now is, for example, Florida has passed a bill in their state that prohibits third-party organizations from actually holding voter registration drives, and they've actually shortened the time that people can come in and do early voting, which is one of the things that could possibly be affecting Mr. Leandrew Mills in his special election runoff for the Senate seat that he's trying to fill. So those are things that we have to be on guard for and really get active and move out on. I mean, we can sit here and talk amongst ourselves, and we're preaching to the choir, but we've got to start moving outside of our safety, our comfort zone, and get with other people and have these discussions. And there's going to be some, I'll say, some loud discussions in some cases. There are going to be some where it's pretty difficult to try to convince people that this is what needs to happen, because not everybody sees things the same way as we have witnessed. So that's all I'm going to say on the voter suppression right now, because I think everybody gets the word, and we just have to be more focused on that, and we have to get a voter turnout larger than we've ever gotten before. In the 2012 election, because they're doing everything within their power. And I would say this, folks that are watching the news and different shows on MSNBC, every day there's a new poll that comes out to talk about where the president is at, and as far as his favorability and unfavorability ratings. Don't pay attention to those polls, because all they will do at this point in time is discourage people. We don't want people to start feeling hopeless over this next re-election. There's not a Republican candidate out there right now that I've seen, and I'm sure if you saw the recent debate on Wednesday night, that can hold a candle to President Obama. They have no ideas, no new innovative thoughts as far as what to do to fix this country. All they do is bash him and talk about how the stimulus has failed, which it hasn't. The Congressional Budget Office said that if it hadn't been for the stimulus package, 2.9 more million people would be out of work if he hadn't done what he had done in executing that stimulus package. They're calling the new American Jobs Act another stimulus package, when in fact it is not. It is a balanced approach to reducing the deficit and putting people back to work by making cuts in discretionary spending and raising taxes on the wealthy and closing loopholes on corporations. That's the only way we can get the economy going again. That's the only way we're going to get people back to work. So in getting people back to work, I do have one small business that I'd like to talk about this evening. Trinity Florist and Event Center. It's a florist shop, and they have a center of about 2,500 square feet that they host different events in. Anything from receptions to parties and things of that nature. And they are located at 3200 Armsdale Road, Suite 70 in Jacksonville, Florida. And if you're interested in doing some business with them, give them a look at their website. It's www.trinityflowersandeventsjax.com. That's JAX.com. So I'm sure they would appreciate a look and to see what's going on there, and would definitely enjoy some of your business. And talk about the Republican Party debate. Well, I'll say the Tea Party debate that they had on CNN on Wednesday night. I don't really have a whole lot to say on that matter, because I wasn't really that impressed with much that was said. There was one thing I did find shocking, which I did in the previous one as well. When they talked about in the previous debate about the executions, And people basically applauded that louder than they did anything else in the entire debate. And then when they were talking about health care and letting someone sick die, and they basically had a few people in the audience scream out, yeah, and they applauded that louder than anything else in the debate. That just says we've got some people out here who profess to be the Christian right, but I don't understand, and maybe somebody out there can key into everything about what it is that they're doing and how they can profess to be Christians when they have no compassion whatsoever for their fellow man. I mean, what I'm seeing and what I've talked about before from the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Tea Party may have started out as a group of concerned citizens over the increase in debt in the country and taxation and things of that nature, but it has turned and evolved into a voice for hate groups across the country. And those hate groups have been growing rapidly ever since President Obama started campaigning for office back in 2008 and since he has been in office. He's received more threats than any other president in history, and those threats continue to increase as his administration moves on closer and closer to this election. So we have to get out and make our voices heard louder and stronger over those Tea Party members. One other thing we had talked about, and that was some of the issues around birth control. Well, Mississippi, or anti-abortion, I'll say, Mississippi is passed a bill called Mississippi Personhood Law. And what this can do is basically have the effect of banning abortions altogether. Now, what they're actually doing, they haven't passed it yet. They're going to put it on the ballot. And so what they're going to do is it defines personhood from the moment of fertilization. And the measure could potentially outlaw abortions, birth control, in vitro fertilization, and stem cell research across the state. The courts failed to rule on it because it's something that actually would change the state's Bill of Rights, and therefore the court said in order to do that based on their constitution, it has to be put on the ballot. So we're going to see what happens on that, I guess, and that's going to come up on the ballot in 2012. The issue that I'm concerned with here is the fact of the wording that they're changing now, because in the Roe v. Wade decision, they never got an answer as to whether or not a fetus is a person. With this change in semantics to personhood, then a fetus now becomes a person. And that's something that could be used and leveraged across the country, again, not to overturn Roe v. Wade, but basically to subvert it and go around it. So people need to really be aware of that, women in particular. Would be concerned with it because there were some provisions in here. Let's see. It said the measure could be interpreted to outlaw the birth control pill, for instance, because the pill can sometimes prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg. They also said the measure could outlaw in vitro fertilization, stem cell research, emergency contraception for rape victims, as well as discourage doctors from performing a life-saving miscarriage treatment when a woman is suffering from potentially fatal pregnancy complications. So this is another one that bears considerable watching in the state of Mississippi. And I would ask folks to kind of make your voice heard on that. Maybe even petition the state, or if you know people that live in that state, call them up and make sure that they're going to speak out against this legislation. I'm sure the Southern Poverty Law Center will be involved in this because they're actually based out of Mississippi. So that's another thing we need to look into. One of the last topics I have tonight, an individual by the name of Mike Loughran published an article called Goodbye to All That, Reflections of a GOP Operative Who Left the Cult. And it's a very enlightening article. This guy was a senior staffer inside the GOP, and the article basically talks about, and in this, he basically said, with some of the things that he saw going on here recently, he just retired after 28 years back in June of this year, because he got so fed up with some of the things that he was seeing that the party was trying to do, that he could no longer take it. And what he did do was come out with a, I'll say, a tell of everything that's going on in their organization, what it is they're trying to do. It gives you insight into why our education system is failing. And that's exactly what Republicans want. Republicans want it to fail because they love to have what they call a low information voter. A low information voter is what they consider someone to be, have a lower education. In other words, they don't have any, actually most of them don't even finish high school. If anything, they have a GED by their definition. And low information voters are the ones that typically react to fear and things of that nature, as well as the hate ads that you see generated in television and on radio disparaging candidates from other parties. And Republicans have a, I'll say, a large enough financial backing that they're going to bombard different media this year in trying to make sure that President Obama doesn't get reelected, and that whoever ends up being the front runner and the nominee from their party does get a chance to get into office. So we really need to pay a close attention to this as far as what they're trying to do. It also talks about, for example, why the prison population is swelling and why we incarcerate more individuals in this country than any other country in the world. That has to do with the privatization of federal prisons and state prisons, because those people that own those prisons now, from a privatized standpoint, are major donors to Republicans that helped pass that legislation. And so, again, you have more money going into the coffers, and you have more lobbyists than you have ever seen putting money in the pockets of different Republicans. GOP cares solely and exclusively about its rich contributors. These are their three tenets. They worship the altar of Mars, which basically says they want to confuse you in any way they can. And give me that old-time religion. They will capitalize on the far-right religious fanatics out there and have them on their side going forward. And that is really what they're all about. You know, I was so upset the other day when I saw, for example, the Democrats proposed a $7 billion aid package for relief for persons in the country that suffered as a result of Hurricane Irene, the tornadoes that hit the Midwest and Missouri, flooding, the earthquake, and things of that nature. And they basically blocked, the Republicans basically blocked the bill coming to the floor, and it's and basically want to have that offset by some type of discretionary cuts in discretionary spending before they would agree to pass the bill. Now, if that doesn't get your blood boiling, in other words, we have families out here that are suffering, literally suffering. They are either living in shelters, or they are living with neighbors or other family members as they have gone through this. There are neighborhoods that have been devastated. And even in Eric Cantor and John Boehner's own areas, they are suffering with this. That was one of the things I liked about President Obama's America's Job Plan, is that he took it on the road, and he took it to their two districts first to talk to their constituents to say, here's what we're trying to do. Republicans are doing nothing but trying to hurt this country. All for political no other but political reasons. They aren't trying to propose anything about jobs. If you watch the debates on Wednesday night, not once did they mention anything about jobs. So that's what we need to be about. So coming up close on the end of my time, I do want to encourage you all to join one of the existing Facebook groups or create your own. Let's spread the word as fast as possible, people. As I stated before, our lives and livelihoods are at stake. The party of no, Republicans, and particularly the Tea Party, they have to go in 2012. We cannot go through this. And if they're successful in holding on to the House, getting the Senate, or getting the White House, this country is in serious trouble. We are all in serious trouble. But if you join one of these groups, there are some lively discussion threads. There's very accurate information. We go out and double-check some information. We get the comments from the people. If, in fact, we misstate something, we correct it. And there's a lot of information that doesn't make the news. So that's really important, is to check that. So the groups that I'm aware of that are out there, Take Back the House in 2012 is our main one. We've been organized over the last 4 weeks, and we are over 1,000 members now. We actually jumped from around 730 members last week to up to over 1,050 members this week. The Reality of Rick Perry's Texas, and that's a group that's based out of Dallas. Together in Ocean is another group that's based out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You have the Ward 8 Democrats, and these are all Facebook groups. You have Veterans for Obama. You have Veterans Against Rick Perry. The White House also has a Facebook page, and you can go out and post on their page. I think that's one of the reasons I got invited to the conference call on the American Jobs Act is because I actually went out and posted on their page about our groups, what we were trying to do, and the numbers that we represent. And I immediately got a response back from them to dial into their conference call that afternoon. And then moveon.org is another website, and that's a national group that basically is out to do some of the same things that we're trying to do as far as move the agenda for the Democratic Party forward and the people, mainly the people. It's not so much about party, I'll say, as it is about we the people, to make sure we have a functioning government that is not owned by corporations. So we really need to be about that. Okay? In the meantime, let's remember our call to action. Let's get majority rule in Congress and maintain control of the Senate and the White House. Each one needs the truth. And we need to do a voter registration drive right now. I encourage you to check out other great shows on Blog Talk Radio. We have DJ Patron on Mondays from 7 to 9 for a hip-hop experience. We have DJ Mr. E on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 in the Jazz and Soul Cafe. We have Miss Mina Holiday on Sundays at 7 p.m. for spoken word poetry. And we have DJ Charles on Saturdays from 8 to 10 for International House Music. And family, that's really all I have at this time. I thank you for joining me for this edition of Let's Speak On. And we'll be talking to you again soon, I hope. And I hope to hear from you or see some of you in the Facebook groups and organizations that we have out there. So until next week, we'll talk to you then.